If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Yes. Loving the music. It sounds like a 70s sitcom, you know, or one of those like Three's Company kind of thing. Who knows? All right, 720 WGN. It is Dane here with you in the Allstate. Well, it's just the Skyline Studio now, I think, or maybe it's the Allstate Skyline Studio. Here we are overlooking all of Chicagoland as we get done with the White Sox broadcast. And so we're going to take a little bit of time before we get into our first guest and kind of preview the stuff that we've got going on in the booth. We've got Mike Heidemann, who is one of the top producers in the world, right? And so we're honored and blessed to have him in his capable hands, Mike.
Great to see you, Dane.
And so we'll be talking a little bit about music, right? Because not only is Mike a music aficionado with Sound Sessions and all the things that he does, not only talks about it, but he also walks the walk. And so we'll talk about some of the things that he's doing, but also a guy who people know as the keeper of the flame for AmazingRibs.com, the one and only Max Good. You think of him as a barbecue personality. He is every bit of that. He's a force in the kind of the education on the equipment side when it comes to the world of live fire and smoking and grilling and all those kind of tools, but also a musician too. You not only love music, Max, but you've over the course of your life and career have made some.
I have done that, yes, all different styles, I might add.
Well, okay, really?
Remember,
were you in a reggae band ever?
Not all different stuff, but I actually played. I played symphonic stuff. I played marching band, big band. I played bebop, rock, punk. I just played all kinds of different styles of music. Not every style, though.
Not every single style, but as a drummer, right? You're the backbone, the timekeeper, if you will, for everything. And that's sort of universal is in the world of music, is that you've got some kind of beat in the back, whether it's, you know, country up front or whether it's, you know, hip hop or any of those other styles, right? There's always beat.
There's a saying that goes, you've got to have a great singer and a great drummer. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how good everybody else is. The band's just not going to make it.
Wow. All right. Well, so one half of the great combo needed for great music. And so we've got an eclectic blend of different things that we're going to have on the show, certainly as we lead into what is one of the main kind of calendar team photo top weekends for barbecue and grilling. Labor Day weekend is happening. And so for those people out there that love to get out in the backyard or wherever it is and enjoy a little bit of grilling and barbecue, we're going to talk some about that. Max is, of course, here, 312-981-7200. You can text in some questions on equipment. He certainly knows all of that. We'll talk a little meat. We'll talk a little tips and trends and things that people are doing on the barbecue side. On the guest side, you know, you bring up music for you guys. We're going to have, coming up just a little bit after the 11 o'clock news, Stacey Lynn Cripps. She is the entertainment medium. And so she is a person, you know, from a medium standpoint, and I don't know how you come down. And I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. I am open-minded. Some of the things that you see out there are undeniable, right? It makes you think. Some are like, well, you know, maybe it could be. And in the world of radio over the last 20 years, whether it's Irene Hughes, right? We had her. We had Dr. Jerry. The psychic situation is always very popular. People are super interested in it. They love the idea of getting, I don't know, a leg up or a heads up or maybe some insight into the future, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then when you can, let's say you've got a person that you care about, a loved one, a family member, if you can kind of connect back with them or reach out and maintain that connection from, let's say, the beyond, that is something that is really, that's really enticing. So what Stacey does too is she, you know, especially on the music side, Max, you think of who, name a couple of your influences in the music world that you felt really tied to, whether it was their music or message that maybe have passed. Is there anybody? It's Elvis, right?
Well, sure, Elvis.
I'm just kidding. But a lot of people have, you know, right?
Definitely. I think most people, just like barbecue, people love barbecue, people love music. There's certain things that you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that doesn't like it, and music is one of those things. So,
is there, because Stacey's going to come on with us a little bit after the 11 o'clock news, and one of her specialties is she connects people with, or she connects with entertainers who have passed. And some of the lists that she's done at Prince, Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, John Lennon, Whitney Houston, Davy Jones, and more. Mike Heidemann, a guy who not only makes music but loves music, is there if you could, and this is objectively, and we're not sure, Stacey's not going to be necessarily doing that. We're going to talk about it. But if there's like a musician, an influence of yours from the past who has passed, who would you like to connect with if you could?
That's a great question. Obviously, John Lennon would be pretty awesome to speak to. He's one of the best.
Would you ask? Would you be like, oh, how's it going? You know, what would it be?
What would I ask John Lennon? I'd probably want to see like what he thinks about music today, and if he had any songs that he would have written, or if he, you know, if it was really Yoko that was the problem, I guess.
with some time, right, to look back and maybe some perspective, he could decide, and maybe Yoko is out of the room necessarily.
Yeah,
right,
he could be out of the room.
He could share. All right, well, give that some thought during the news time, as you will too. We're going to talk with Stephen Reichlin, barbecue superstar. He'll be joining us. Greg Rempe from Barbecue Central Show. We're going to get a chance to talk with him. Max Good in studio the entire time.
Yep.
720 WGN. It is Dane here with you in the Skyline Studio high atop Chicagoland. And to my right, Max Good, Keeper of the Flame, is joining us as well. You know him, of course, as a man behind a lot of the equipment reviews, the best ones from AmazingRibs.com. Mike Heideman in the booth as well. And then on the line with us, and we got a chance to preview this a little bit before we got into the segment, is we see those shows, and there's all sorts of things. It's a very popular situation. There are people who are completely devoted to the idea of spirits that mm-hmm. either walk among us or are connected or accessible, right? And you have, I mean, it's a phenomenon that is out there, and people deal with it on a regular basis. People participate in it, and some of the people are the ones who actually are those conduits, right? Able to channel and be at one with the other side. On the line with us, we've got one of the leading personalities in that field, Stacey Lynn Cripps, and she is an entertainment medium with, I think, like a specific focus in the discipline of musicians and music entertainers. Stacey, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. Hi, how are you?
Hey,
thanks,
Stacey,
for having me.
I want to let you know, first off, and I'm obligated to do this, that this last news that you enjoyed while you were on hold was sponsored by Penny Mustard Furnishings.
So, okay, great.
Just so we know. So let's get into it, Stacey, because this is the kind of thing that is so fascinating. It is the kind of thing, and you think to yourself, people are interested. They're always trying to predict whether it's the future on the spiritual side or numerology or any of these things. And then when it comes to loved ones or people that have passed, they always want to maintain or kind of build that connection. And so talk a little bit about how it works or how it started with you, because it's the kind of thing that I think people are interested in, but not everybody can either understand or relate to.
Okay, all right, great. So I'll share a little bit what happened to me in my 20s. One of my best childhood friends was on her way from home from college, and she was killed in a car accident. And I was in extreme grief and trauma from the whole thing, and I just remember saying, I can't do this anymore. I want her back. And she started to appear to me in my dream state. So she would come to me in my dreams, and I would see her, I would feel her, I would hear her, and then I would wake up, and I would either be crying from happiness or joy or sadness or realizing that she's not here. Well, she helped open me up spiritually. So she heightened my senses where I could see, feel, and hear her when I was sleeping, and then right before I woke up in the morning, and then one day I heard her voice, my ear rang a little bit, and she had me call her mom and give messages to her mom about the accident. So she shared very evidential things that happened where a woman was with her right before she passed in the car with her. And when I called her mom and shared it with her, she said, I didn't believe them. And I said, who? She said that EMTs on the scene told me a woman pulled her car over, got in the car with her, and was holding Heather right before she passed. Well, that was my first reading, and that was way back when in my 20s. And then from there, anyone who passed away would appear to me in when I was sleeping, where I could see, feel, and hear them. And it wasn't until about 8 years ago when I meditated for the first time that I could see, feel, and hear spirit within the meditation. And that's where it all began for me.
Whoa. So was it the kind of thing when it first happened to you, did you just assume it was a dream? At what point did you, or were you open to the idea the entire time? Did you really recognize that this was something that was actually real and not just either something that you were dreaming or thinking of?
It was actually real. So it's real when you can feel it. So if you have emotion around it, if you can feel, it's real. that is the actual distinction. So if you can feel their love, if you can feel their, let's say, essence and personality and their messages, it's real.
So here's, and there are people that have, and I've heard, we've had, whether it's family members or acquaintances or friends who said that they feel signs, you know, of a loved one that has passed, that they're trying to either reassure them that things are okay, or trying to let them know, or trying to contact them and tell them something. It's one thing if that person was in life connected to you. What's the difference for you in that kind of effort to connect with people that you don't have a connection with, other than maybe trying to connect them with other loved ones that maybe you're working with? Is that more difficult? I mean, how do you have that, because you don't have that existing connection from the actual life?
Okay, yeah. So I actually developed this gift, I think, since I was younger. So I could... I just knew things growing up that I shouldn't have known. So I was very tuned in, and since I was very, very young. We all have this gift. So we all have this inner gift of intuition that really guides us here, but we also have the gift of spirit, because we're spirit first, having a human experience here. So everyone can dream and receive from their loved ones in spirit, and they can ask them to come through. I just happen to be someone who has developed it so much that I'm here to teach it, and I'm here to share it, and I'm here to demonstrate it. So I don't necessarily have to have a connection with them in spirit for them to come through. I give spiritual readings every single week, and I don't know the people that I'm reading for. And I can just open up in white light, and I can see, feel, and hear them. So I have the gift of seeing, feeling, and hearing, and sometimes I can feel things within my body of what happened with them right before they pass. So It's very evidential, and that's what's really healing, because then they know without a doubt that their loved one's right here, and they're bringing through this real evidential information that only they can interpret and that they know.
Now, does it ever surprise you? Are you ever kind of impressed with what's going on? And of course, sometimes you're sharing information, you don't necessarily know the significance of it. Let the listeners know, we're talking with spiritual medium Stacey Lynn Cripps, and we have a mutual friend, and she shared some of her experiences with you. And she's, I think she's a realist in a lot of ways, and I think naturally skeptical in some ways, but you were able to kind of connect with certain, and I think that's it, right? When you can share details like you did with the car and with the person in the car, details that no one else would either know about or that don't have a connection other than, I guess, like a real connection to the person. And so you're able to kind of share that and convince them. Is that something where the person on the other side is trying to either make a case or trying to convince them, hey, it's really me?
Yes, absolutely. So I go in and I expect, when I go into my heart to receive from them, to see, hear, and feel them, that they're going to bring it, and that they're going to bring such strong evidence that's going to touch the heart of the person that is receiving. And that is exactly what happens every single time. And it's very impactful, very powerful, and it's full of love, and it's full of healing. And it's the main reason for this is to let them know that they're still with them. They're still with them, loving them and guiding them here. And that the veil is really thin, and that our loved ones can come and go and watch over us and guide us with these signs that are very evident to help us on our path here. It's pretty amazing.
One thing I think personally amazing for people to be able to connect with loved ones or connect with people from their own past that they want to maintain a connection with or get some information or a message from. But you're an entertainment medium, and This is the cool stuff. So when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about some of the people that that you were able to connect with, some of those situations, getting to the bottom of some mysteries, giving some insight into some longstanding, I don't want to say scandals, but certain things, right, that people didn't necessarily know from public figures, typically on the music side, that everybody knows. People like Prince, Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson. Yeah. You even had Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac, all of that. So
those guys came through too.
Tuned for that. We're going to get into that with Stacey Lynn Cripps in just a minute. We're going to take a break here. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane here in the Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago on a, it's Wednesday night still, right? For a little bit. And we are talking about the world, the mysterious world of the beyond, right? And well, it isn't necessarily like that, because the way that Stacey Lynn Cripps, who is our guest, she is a local spiritual medium, an entertainment medium, it makes it seem really nice. It doesn't seem scary at all. It doesn't seem like ghosts or spooky or anything like that. It seems like there's a lot of love. There's a lot of understanding. There's a lot of sharing of information. And she had mentioned something I thought was really important, that everybody has kind of this gift to receive things, and that we all probably do it to some extent. And some people, just like in anything, like Max, you're way better at reviewing grilling and barbecue equipment than I am, right? You have your own skill set and talent, right?
And you're better at being a radio talk show host than
just,
me. So.
Well, you just spend more time doing it. And yeah, Stacey's been doing this for a long time. And here's the other side of it. So I think if you're interested in it, maybe that makes you more receptive or a magnet for it. But some of you know, her most famous, I think, interactions are in the music industry with some of the biggest names of all time. Stacey, welcome back to WGN.
Oh, thanks. Hey.
So let's think about this. Like, were you seeking out, you know, an opportunity to talk with like Prince or John Lennon, or are these people that had an impact on you? Or for some reason, Is there something that you have that people or spirits that have a musical background just seem drawn to?
So the answer is yes and no. So I was not seeking them out on any level. And what happened was my father was an Elvis impersonator. So he sang Elvis, he had the jumpsuits. I grew up in the 80s. And I sang backup for him once or twice. Oh, and so awesome. My father passed away about 7 years ago. And when he got over there into the heavenly realms, I was meditating, and he would come to me. And one day he brought me Elvis in meditation.
Are you serious? He's like, hey, guess who I ran into?
Yeah, so serious. Yeah, so serious. And that's when it all began, really. I mean, Elvis was very strong in spirit. He came to me on a regular basis, played his music everywhere and anywhere, and gave me signs galore when he would connect with me. And he told me that he was going to connect me with Scylla, he called her, his first wife, and that he'd be working on that. And whenever a spirit comes like this and says, I'm going to connect you, or I'm going to make sure that you give someone a reading for me, I say, okay, you guys got to get to work and lead me. I'm not going to just call someone up and say, hey, you know, I was meditating and Elvis came to me. So what happens is they do the work and they orchestrate me meeting their people. And this is how it's been happening for a number of years now. So Elvis came to me one morning and woke me up to the song Burning Love. I went in and I went to my bathroom. I turned on the radio and Burning Love was on. And he told me that she was in town and he wanted me to go talk to her. And sure enough, he was 100% right. And so I went out and went to her event and I spoke with her. And she shared with me, after I shared some messages with her, that my father knew Joe Esposito, who was Elvis's best friend.
That's right.
My father used to take off all the time to Hollywood and to Memphis, and we never knew where he was going, really. And she shared with me that she knew my dad, and my dad knew Joe Esposito. And so it was really a full circle moment, but what it proved was that spirit can orchestrate so much here for us to experience. And so whenever someone comes to me, which all of them do now, especially on the day of their passing, I just say, I'll be happy to work with you. You just set it up. And that's how it works.
So, okay. So it's one thing for them to come to you and for you to have those interactions and then be able to share those great stories. Very entertaining. It's informational. Do you ever, for some of these people, and we mentioned like Tupac and some of those, where there's kind of like some longstanding mysteries. Do you ever, you know, in the process of getting to know them, kind of say like, hey, you know, what really happened there, where you could really be solving, and that happens in law enforcement and in crime, you know, kind of solving the crime. It happens on a regular basis where they'll bring, you know, mediums or psychics in. Do you ever kind of get to the bottom of any things while you're talking to some of these people?
Well, yes, it happened. I was on a podcast, and there was an audience on this podcast, and I started to connect with Spirit. And I'd never connect to Biggie Smalls before, ever. I never connected to, who was the other, Tupac, right? And he came through, and he had his arm around this guy, Tupac. And they came through, and I started to bring them through. And they talked about the Crips and the Bloods, and it just so happens my last name's Crips. So it was very entertaining.
So you're obligated to be on one side of that particular argument.
Right. So it was so amazing because they were showing me a movie reel, what happened to them, and I didn't follow them, so I didn't know much about them. Because I grew up in the 80s, listened to all that music, and they came a little later. And so they shared what happened to them in their passing. They both were assassinated. They both shared that they were in a car, and just specific details, which I can't remember right now, because I usually don't remember the specific details that actually come through, because I'm channeling, and it's coming through me in an energy instead of, you know, in my mind. So I don't retain it, but I will say that they both connected very strongly.
Well, here's,
and they brought it through. Yeah.
Well, okay. So that's the mystery, because there was the assassinations of both of them, right? You know, that had happened in different parts of the country. Now, so here's the thing. So it's one thing if they come to you, and whether you're aware of them or not, and kind of share a story, and you're able to kind of share that. Do you have anyone to let the listeners know? We're talking with Stacey Lynn Cripps, and she's local, and you will talk to local people. You're able to meet with local people, help them kind of connect with loved ones as best they can, right? But then do you ever have it where people say, you know, personally, Stacey, I'd like to meet Elvis. You know, is that one of those things where you can kind of arrange, or is it something that just sort of happens? Because I'm sure for some of these people, the schedules are tight.
So I'll share with you, it happens in the spiritual reading. So I was reading for a singer this last Friday, and the first one that came through was a guy named Jimmy Jameson. And it just so happens that as he came through, he gave evidence that she was in his video back in the 80s, and it was absolutely correct. So he came through first. He was the singer of Survivor. And he brought evidence and connected as to who he is and his name. I get a lot of names. And he shared how he knew her, and it just happened to be his birthday as well. And that's how it works. So the person that I'm reading for has a connection with them, and that's how they can come through so fluidly. So, like, earlier today I was driving, and whenever I'm going to be doing something like this, a spirit will actually connect with me, an entertainer. And I was driving, and John Lennon came on the radio, and then I looked up and I saw Abbey. And he talked to me about, he's all for Abbey Road. So Abbey Road. And there's something going on with Abbey Road, an anniversary or something going on, and he mentioned London. And so I know someone in your audience is connected to him, or maybe you are, because he came through very strongly today, as did Elvis. And so there's a reason why that happened.
Well, we'll you know, over the course of time, as we let you go, we'll kind of keep track with the listeners until we're here until 11-312-981-7200. If you're connected to John Lennon in any way, and I think so many people could be, because it's a massively popular band and personality, but we'll definitely keep track of that. Now, for those people, and before we let you go, that want to get a hold of you, and it doesn't have to be, and for the listeners, you don't have to want to meet Aretha Franklin. You can maybe want to get in touch with your uncle or your past relative of your mom or your dad or whatever. How can people get a hold of you? Is there a website also where people can get more information on all the kind of cool things that are going on in your adventures?
Sure. So they could go to entertainmentmedium.com, and they can follow me on ENT Medium on Instagram or Twitter.
Entertainmentmedium.com. We'll have links up at WGN Radio for that as well. And so I want to thank you for taking time out a little bit late on and sharing sort of this mysterious gift. Max had kind of a question, right? Which was what? Just,
well, I was just curious. I'm sure you encounter many people that are skeptical. And I wonder, what do you say to them?
Well, what I say to people that are like that, especially it happened with my husband. So he's very much like that. And it's because that you haven't had a spiritual, I'll say, like an experience yet, and everyone does here at some point. And it usually happens after someone you love has passed and you miss them and you think about them in this loving way, and then they start to connect with you. And that's how it works. So anyone that is coming from a place of, I'm not so sure about you, that's okay, because I too would be that way. Until they have an experience where if they have a spiritual reading and they receive from their loved ones, I've given these where one loved one comes through throughout the reading, or I've had up to 8 to 10 loved ones come through.
Wow.
For someone. Mm-hmm. And it can be that quick where they're all lined up, and they all orchestrate these meetings anyway. So they all, I mean, orchestrate people meeting me.
Well, I'm sure there's some, yeah, and I would say for Max too, and Stacey, I'm sure there's some costs associated with it. So if you get 8 people coming through, it could get kind of pricey. Unless it's all, is it just?
No, it's just one hour, just one appointment.
Oh, that's so awesome. Nice.
Yeah, but if there's 8 loved ones in heaven coming through, they orchestrated that those 8 are going to come through. So I never know how it's going to go. I just open up and then I say, oh, I have a father here, and this father's from Michigan, and he said that he had a heart condition and he loved his tool bench, and that's how it works. And he's very happy about your schooling at Purdue, and so it's just very flowing and evidential, and oh, he's with your mother and her name's Fran, and so
you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. You just have to be open to the possibilities, and Max, that's it. You got to be open to it. And at some point you'll have an experience, and then you'll be like, okay, I get it. So if people want to go to entertainmentmedium.com, they can learn more about Stacey. They can kind of look forward to trying to figure out a way to get involved if they want to get either more information or get in front of her or help kind of make those connections as well. So Stacey, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for taking time out and jumping on the show tonight.
Thanks, you guys. It was great.
All right. So it's mysterious,
well,
right?
Yes,
but the idea to get
an
opportunity to talk to Elvis, man, I would consider that. We are going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to send it to news. It's Dane here along with Max Good and Mike Heideman, hey. 720 WGN. All right, 720 WGN. It is Dane here in the Skyline studio high atop Chicagoland. Riding shotgun is the one only Max Good, keeper of the flame at RaisingRibs.com. Mike Heideman in the booth, spinning the hits and playing appropriate bumpers for all of our guests, including the guy on the line. Now, a little bit about this is Little Heroes League. This is their second event that they've done, and we were involved and supported the first one. They're doing some great work at supporting a lot of the causes and the efforts over there at Lurie's Children's Hospital. And Fundraiser 2 is coming up September 12th. Over there at Soldier Field, and the Bears, I think that these guys are the good luck charm for the Bears, because as soon as they started getting involved, the Bears started getting even better. Will Ulazic is on the line. Will, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane. Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for staying up a little late. You never can tell, right, with the with baseball. It's America's pastime, and sometimes it takes more time than it does other times, right? But you stayed on the line with us. Fill the listeners in for those that may not be up to speed with what you guys are doing with Little Heroes League.
Yeah, Dane, thanks. So Little Heroes League is a public charity here in Illinois. We're affiliated with Lurie Children's Hospital, as you just mentioned. And what we do is we handle some of the most medically complex babies that are born in the Chicago area. So typically these babies end up at Lurie Children's Hospital in their NICU because of the great capability that Lurie has. And then what we do is we supply additional resources to help these babies and these families. And these resources effectively act as a project manager for the child's health. And what we do is we manage the overall care and activities and therapies related to those children. And then really our goal is to get these babies home as soon as possible where they thrive, and then keep them home by providing some very good therapies and capabilities inside their homes. So really taking on some of the most challenging situations, some of the most challenging babies in Chicago, and making them better.
Yeah, that support system there too, right, to help kind of navigate through. It's a stressful time. It's a challenging time in a million different ways, and so much of it is a mystery to the parents. So to have people who've been there, done that, and can shepherd them through that process, I think is great. And on the event side, you know, you've got a great cause, and that's great, but in order to get people really, really involved and excited, you've got an incredible event. And of course, it's at Soldier Field. You've got Peanut Tillman involved there. You've got Jim Corneliuson involved there. You've got a lot of people. Talk about how people can have some fun on the 12th.
Yeah, thanks, Dane. On September 12th at Soldier Field, what we're going to do is have our second major annual event. We call it Fundraiser 2 because we love having fun at all of our events, and I think we've demonstrated that. But bottom line is we start off with a 6 p.m. cocktail hour in the colonnades, the beautiful colonnades that are part of Soldier Field, and in this particular case, the ones that overlook Lake Michigan and the skyline. And then we move on to our main program at 7 p.m., and as you mentioned, what we'll do is we'll have Jim Cornelison kick it off with a national anthem. We'll have Pina Tillman there in terms of providing some great insight into some of his journey with a medically complex child. And also probably talk a little bit about the Bears and hopefully talk about a great win the week before. Mm-hmm. We'll have an open bar all night long starting at 6 p.m. We'll have great food. We'll have a pep band that's assembled from some of the college pep bands here in Chicago. So we're just going to have a great time.
It's impressive what you guys have done. There are a lot of really great and well-deserving causes out there, and there's a lot of, people that have efforts to try to get some of that attention. You guys have done an admirable job in just 2 years to be able to have this event. Last year was a great success. This one is poised to be just as great or greater. So kudos to you guys. And so we'll have links up at WGNradio.com for the event, and so people can get involved, support it, participate, attend. And then also, if you've got a website for people to get more information, parents are hearing this, family members are hearing this, so that they can maybe get involved on all sides of the issue.
Absolutely. And our website is littleheroesleague.org, just the way it sounds. And look for the events tab. And what you'll do is you'll see all the information on Fundraiser 2.
We'll have links up, like I said, and thanks again, Will. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for staying up late, getting on the show. I know we're going to have you on the Saturday show before the event as well, and thanks for jumping on tonight.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it, and everybody have a great night.
All right, get some sleep. All right, it is a little bit before, well, geez, it's like 17 minutes before midnight. When we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Max, we're going to have barbecue grilling legend Stephen Reichlin is going to be
on. Right, yeah.
With us. He's going to talk a little bit about brisket, the mysterious kind of Mount Everest of challenges in the barbecue and grilling world, and we're going to talk about a new crew. This is something we got to work on, so we'll listen to him and learn about how we can have our own kind of branded crews for Dane and Max.
Yes, yes.
All right.
I'm on board. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
I'm board. No pun intended. Stay tuned for that. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio high atop Chicago. As Chicago gets ready for Labor Day weekend, and there's so many of these kind of festive food holidays, and you don't want to demean or diminish the importance of the real reason that they were put on the calendar or the observance, but oftentimes the way people celebrate and kind of get together and commiserate is through barbecue and grilling. Excited to have a James Beard Award winner, multiple time best-selling book author multiple times. We'll talk about his new book, The Brisket Chronicles, a television celebrity, Hall of Famer, barbecue superhero, the one and only Stephen Reichlin. Stephen, welcome to WGN.
Hey, it's great to be back.
It's great to have you on here. And I know that these are the times where I'm sure you're in the command center, whether it's giving helpful advice or dispensing important information in the barbecue and grilling side. So the listeners are excited to have you on. When it comes to Labor Day, you think Memorial Day, 4th of July, you know, Labor Day, and we mentioned, of course, in the intro that there's, you know, actual real significance and important reasons for the holidays to be on the calendar. But people oftentimes when they get together do barbecue and grilling. Is there a date, a holiday? It doesn't even have to be an American one, because I think your presence is global. Is there a barbecue or grilling holiday that is your favorite or that you kind of recognize the most?
You know, every day is a barbecue holiday for me. And obviously Labor Day, you know, Memorial Day, July 4th, but really every day is a beautiful excuse to fire up the grill.
A beautiful excuse. And that's one of the things, right? You look for reasons. Now, I'm one of those guys. I'm an enthusiast, and I think that number grows and has grown over the last handful of years. But, Stephen, I find myself, you know, asking my wife, or we're like, hey, what do you want to, you know, because always in the morning, like, well, what do you want to have for dinner? That's the whole question. And now I'm trying to think of, like, well, what do I have that I can use the grill for? I mean, there's things that we could cook, obviously, in the kitchen that don't need, you know, they don't need the Kamado or the pellet smoker or the Weber or whatever. But I'm always kind of looking for reasons to fire it up.
You know, for me, grilling session always begins with a trip to the market. I'm talking to you from Martha's Vineyard now.
Wow.
We have incredible farmers markets fantastic seafood, you know, great island-raised meats and chicken. So, you know, first I shop, then I light the grill.
Well, you've got Martha's Vineyards, and we're going to talk a little bit about travel and ways that people can get out there and explore the world and do it in the way that Stephen Reichlin does it. You mentioned seafood, you mentioned chicken, you mentioned some of those other seasonal things. The most recent book, The Brisket Chronicles, and as we get into Labor Day weekend, people are trying to challenge, to climb that, what is it, the Mount Kilimanjaro or the Mount Everest of the barbecue and grilling world, which is the brisket. So talk a little bit about the book. This is kind of like that kind of handbook to success for barbecue's toughest meat.
Well, barbecue and beyond, because the Brisket Chronicles tell you not only how to smoke barbecue the ultimate Texas brisket and barbecued briskets actually from across the U.S., but also covers pastrami, which starts as brisket, corned beef, which covers brisket, Montreal smoked meat, Vietnamese beef noodle soup, Italian bolito misto. These all begin with brisket.
And you mentioned in one of our other conversations, you mentioned Texas just recently, and you mentioned Aaron Franklin, who's kind of a traditionalist, right? A less is more salt and pepper guy out there making what you've contended to be some of the, if not the best brisket out there. Do you feel like, what is the entry point? Or is the entry point wherever people come at it on their culinary side, and then they can branch out into areas they may not be as familiar? Or is that really a great place to start? Is sort of that simple, sort of that Texas kind of situation, and then kind of branch out to maybe some of those cuisines from around the world?
Well, if you think about what you want to accomplish in a lifetime, one thing you definitely want to accomplish to master is smoking a whole Texas Packer brisket. Now, Packer brisket, you know, brisket is actually comprised of two muscles, right? There's a fattier muscle called the point and a leaner muscle called the flat. And together they give you a brisket that weighs anywhere from 12 to 18 pounds. This is what the big boys smoke in Texas. The seasoning, super simple, equal parts, coarse salt, and cracked black peppercorns. The whole trick lies in smoking the brisket low and slow. That is 250 degrees for a period of time, you know, measured in half days. I also like to wrap the brisket in butcher paper about two-thirds of the way through the process. This seals in moisture, but it breathes, so you keep that bark, that crust on the brisket, nice and crisp and savory. Now, you mentioned entry point, and probably the entry point for most people, and I'm betting most people in Chicago, will be a brisket flat. That is the leaner of those two muscles, and that's what you tend to find in the supermarket on any given day. So I do have a trick for a brisket flat. Brisket flat, typically it's had all that wonderful fat trimmed off of it. And you need the fat to keep the meat moist during this long cooking. So the second recipe in the Brisket Chronicles has you place the brisket flat, once seasoned with salt and pepper, in an aluminum foil pan. And you drape the top with artisanal thick-cut smoky bacon.
Wow.
And then you smoke the bacon in that foil, you smoke the brisket in that foil pan. What happens is the brisket, the bacon fat melts, it keeps the meat moist, it bastes the meat, and working the foil pan keeps the bottom from drying out. You know, it shields it from that hot, dry heat of the smoker. Cooking time here, you look in at maybe 6 hours, so obviously that's a lot easier and more manageable than a half day. But the results are still fantastic.
You're in Martha's Vineyard. It's not your hometown, right? That's where you are today in the name of great food. But let's talk a little bit about this new partnership. This is exciting, where Stephen Reichlin is now on the high seas and Windstar Cruises. How does it work? What is it?
Well, to talk about opportunities you would never expect to arrive, but about a year ago I was contacted by the Windstar Cruise Line. This is a small boat luxury cruise line, and they wanted to put barbecue restaurants on all their ships. So these will be called the Star Grill by Stephen Reichlin. The recipes will be my recipes, my menus. I will train the chefs, and I will actually be doing some of the cruising. So every year I'll be teaching a class on one of the cruises and taking people on shore to experience some of my favorite grilling in Asia or in the Caribbean. So it's The Star Grill by Stephen Reichlin. You can read about it on the Windstar site or, of course, on my website, which is barbecuebible.com. That's BarbecueBible.com.
Oh, and very last thing, think about it. You have been here since the beginning. I think the first interview that I had done with you, it might have been 2007, 2000.
Yeah, we were both back in puberty back then.
2008, right, back in the day before barbecue was even a thing. And now, I mean, just your thoughts on it. As a person who's been there, been a proponent and ambassador forever in it, to see it now where it has gone from really a backyard food to now it's being included as an elevated option on luxury cruises, barbecue, I mean, it's come a long way.
It is truly amazing. But, you know, I'm not surprised. There's something so irresistible about cooking over live fire, standing around the live fire, the intoxicating flavor of spice and wood smoke. You know, whether you're talking traditional American barbecue, whether you're talking explosively flavored Southeast Asian grilling, this is just a food everybody loves. So, you know, I'm not surprised. And if I were to make a prediction, I think it will only get more popular in the future.
We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com for the books, the cruises, all things Stephen Reichlin. What are you going to do on Labor Day? Do you have anything specific that you're going to be doing? Are you teaching a class? You're paying it forward on the education side? Or are you going to be at home kind of relaxing?
Well, actually, I will be laboring on Labor Day. I'm flying up to Sept Riviere, Quebec, Canada. You know, I do a lot of work in Quebec. And I'll be teaching a series of barbecue seminars in this town, beautiful town at the mouth of the St. Lawrence River. Give me a chance to practice my French.
Stephen Reichlin, one of the very, very best in the business, and one of our true heroes when it comes to barbecue and grilling. Thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for taking time out. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you, Dane, and happy holiday to you and all your listeners.
We got a lot of instruments here. This is
bluegrass, man.
So we talked a little bit earlier, let the listeners know Max Good is here. He's the keeper of the flame for AmazingRibs.com, but also an accomplished musician and a drummer and everything. Did you ever dabble in, and I'll ask Mike Heidemann, also a musician, the same thing. You hear some of those kind of a simpler time style instruments, maybe a jug and a washboard, and maybe playing things that you could also eat your cereal with, like the spoons. Did you ever dabble in some of those?
Maybe out of necessity. I've never been a big percussion type guy. I mean, not that type at any rate. You know, I'm more stick. Give me a couple sticks, you know, and give me some drums and cymbals, and I'll
Mike,
bang away on them.
You know? Any kind of washboard action? Maybe play the jug.
If they would have offered the jug in my high school, I would have jumped on that right away. No doubt about it. I can only imagine the music. It would just be like blow.
I'm sure that's more complicated than I'm not absolutely sure, but I've.
Well, there's actually, I mean, there is a technique to all those things, and they're very valid instruments. I hope I didn't sound like I was demeaning them. I just personally have never gravitated
to. Actually got a whole flood of jug player texts come through here.
Oh,
I don't know why you needed to offend that group. It's an angry group.
Yes. The jug community, the jug playing community.
The jug heads is like what they like to be called, actually.
There you go.
All right.
It's funny because my first, it's a short story, my first open mic ever that I ever went to, the person who went on before us played the washboard. And then the second person played
now, do you
the
play
saw.
That, is there like, do you play it with, or do you just use your fingers with the washboard, or is there like a pick, or do you use some piece of metal?
You have like claws.
No,
claws.
What are those little thumb things? That seamstresses use that protect your thumbs. I've seen
like
people
a thimble.
Use those thimbles. That's what.
Yes. Or claws.
Yeah, I've seen people like who have like it looks like Wolverine claws, and they just scratch the board.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually saw the North Mississippi All-Stars, and the guy had an electric washboard, and that was way out, and it lit up too. I think it was like this disco lights on it.
As familiar as you may or may not be with the jug or the washboard or the spoons, they are real, undeniably
yes,
real, right?
Are.
And there are people out there that are proficient. But the new kind of one of the phenomenons of the food world, I think its reality is questionable. It says it's impossible. Maybe it's impossible to believe it's not real, or maybe it's impossibly good. What is it? You know,
I think the name came more from it's impossible to believe it's not real, because even when it first surfaced, you were seeing videos videos on YouTube and all. And, you know, people are taking a bite out of it and holding it up to the camera.
They're fooling people.
Well, no, it really looks, up until then, every time said, well, we got a veggie burger and it's this dry brick of grains and all kinds of spices and, seeds, and which is fine if you're in the mood for that. But this actually seems quite a bit like ground beef, although there's a firestorm has started from the Meat Producers Associations about it. I don't know where it's all going to end. Dane, you mentioned, people used to say margarine was good.
And the slogan for that was, I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah, there
you go. It's kind of almost along the line of the impossible.
And there's all this information floating around about it. Like, it's better for the environment. Then others will counter and say, no, it actually is not.
I can see the Chick-fil-A, cows or whatever that are up there on the billboard saying, eat more chicken. I'm sure they're excited about this.
we'll have to ask them, right?
But we may find out, right, that it's like, okay, yes, on one side, you're not killing animals or you're not using animals, or maybe it doesn't have maybe some of the issues on the health side that meat may have, but there's a lot of unknowns. I've seen some reports that it's the exact, it's dog food, or that there's a lot of preservatives or some other things in it. And
I don't know enough about it other than I did eat one Impossible Burger and I did not douse it with bacon and all kinds of heavy cheeses and stuff because I wanted to taste what it tasted like. And it tasted like, to me, it tasted like when you buy pre-made frozen hamburger patties, decent ones, not really garbage ones, and just grill them up real fast. And it was okay. I was surprised,
Well, okay, Max, if you were at the table in the conference room kind of developing the marketing strategy, you would have been the guy saying, let's call it the It's Okay Burger.
The Okay Burger.
Let's be honest,
right? Not bad burger.
One of the good things is that this, that there isn't necessarily a masterclass video series teaching you how to enjoy or tolerate your Impossible Burger. There is a really cool thing that's happening. I know Meathead, of course, the vision leader of the AmazingRibs.com family is part of really what is an all-star group kind of teaching people those secrets.
Oh, yeah. And they have come up with this Barbecue Stars video series, and it's interesting. And I was involved just in a peripheral way with the segments that were shot with Meathead. And I'm telling you, this camera crew was top-notch. They were very versed in doing this type of video work. The production quality is incredible. And you've got not just Meathead doing about 10 different recipes, and they also did an in-depth interview asking him, how did you get into this? What's your philosophy? And I think they did this with all the 11. And we're talking big shots like Tuffy Stone, Harry Sue. If you really love barbecue, you could own, it's going to be like 100 videos that you just download and do whatever you want with. And
on the barbecue side, it's a little different than maybe some other people, like all the Food Network shows. I've interviewed almost every single personality from Food Network or Top Chef or any of those. People are interested in what they do, and those shows do very well, the recipe mm-hmm, shows mm-hmm. and making things. But it doesn't seem like there's the kind of secrets that people are really looking for that you're probably getting from a barbecue
This is like if one of these guys was your neighbor and they're a little more prepared than just a casual conversation, but you will get secrets, you will get insight. And I think they're going to do some other things, like for instance, they're having a private Facebook site where people who register to get these videos will have access to that and probably other stuff as well. Here's the only problem, though. Newsflash, anybody listening to this, if this sounds good to you, go to tinyurl.com/barbecuestars. Or if you can't remember that, go to AmazingRibs.com. It's right on our homepage. Click away on it. And you have till midnight tomorrow night, which is Thursday night, to register for that. And then they're closing it off. Now, they may come back with it. I don't know. But to be safe, jump on it.
It's neat that you've got not only sort of the techniques that you can have from the video series, but you mentioned a little bit of backstory on the personalities and mm-hmm, some of the thought mm-hmm. process. And you look at the blend of personalities that they have there. And Meathead is great the way that he kind of approaches things. He really breaks it down for you, and the scientific, the reasons behind all of this stuff, not just, hey, this is what I do and this is why it's great. He really kind of gives a little bit of the history, right? Mm-hmm. And a little bit of the science and all that kind of stuff. That's his niche. He owns that. He's great.
Absolutely. But then you're going to get different perspectives from the different barbecue stars that are appearing in these. And you probably will get some more touchy-feely, mythological type techniques, you know, to...
Touchy-feely barbecue. I think they're outside of St. Louis.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a restaurant. But I'm just saying, you're going to get different ideas. Meathead comes from solid science. He always says, I'm a man of facts. You might get people that just say, I do it the way my dad showed
this
me,
weird moves
you know,
me.
or yeah, there you go. and that's what's so fantastic about it. You'll get it from people, not just people that don't have credentials, some of the top people in the fields, like Dean Fearing with Fearing's Restaurant, who's a James Beard Award-winning chef, is one of the barbecue stars. So that's what I'm saying. There's a rich blend of different types of approaches and personalities here.
It's one thing to see... Meathead, you can see pictures of them and videos right at AmazingRibs.com. And
of course,
you maybe have more than your fair share of access to Meathead. But if people want to get together, see Meathead, you've got a meetup coming up, right?
Which
kind of an event people can gravitate, commiserate. They can make the pilgrimage down and see the whole thing.
Well, now, the only catch on that is it's only open to members of our Pitmaster Club, but there's a good silver lining on that one. Everybody knows AmazingRibs.com is a free website, but we do have a subscription-based club, which is one of the biggest barbecue subscription-based clubs in the world, and it's called the Pitmaster Club. And you can join it for, it's like 20, 25 bucks a year, and you get all kinds of cool perks. But you have to be a member of the Pitmaster Club to sign up for our meet up in Memphis, which will occur next summer, 2020, it's going to be a blast, a load of fun. We're going to get you bussed around Memphis. There's a lot to do in Memphis. Bring the family.
You know who's from Memphis, don't you? Elvis. That's right.
Hey, ooh, wait a minute.
No. Right. Mike's trying to cue up the spooky music. Memphis, baby. Okay. Come on, and you know He enjoyed barbecue, I'm sure. Along with peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Yeah, fool's gold.
All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, and this is a guy I know that you know very well, and the barbecue community knows very well, got a chance to talk with Greg Rempe. He was in town, and I think of him as kind of the Walter Cronkite of barbecue news, the breaking barbecue news guy, and had an opportunity to talk with him. Because of the White Sox, we won't have the opportunity to probably talk the entirety that we had planned with him, but we'll at least get to hear some of it. So quick break, we'll be back with Greg. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio high atop Chicagoland, and excited to have in studio with us the physical embodiment of, I think, the barbecue news community. He is, I think, the Walter Cronkite of barbecue, and residing in, I think, what is recognized as the barbecue center of maybe the east end of the Midwest, Cleveland, Ohio, the one and only host of Barbecue Central Show, Greg Rempe. Greg, welcome to WGN.
Dane, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's great to have you physically here. You come into the, whether it's the cell phones or computers or homes of so many people that are barbecue fans around the country, and now to have you here, kind of do what they say in the business, the old switcheroo, right? We're going
to
be asking
it
you
rarely happens, to be honest. I mean, of all the years I've done the show, for me to turn around and get interviewed, is this might be the fifth time.
Well, I don't necessarily see this as an interview. I see this kind of as a conversation. There's a lot of things that I'm interested in. I know a lot of people are excited to hear. There's probably some things that you may want to be able to share a little bit about the show, or about maybe the origins of the show that aren't necessarily part of the typical Barbecue Central show format, right? You know, so let's talk a little bit about it, because here's what it is. And I'll tell this for the listeners out there that aren't necessarily familiar, and we'll have all the links up at WGNradio.com, is what Greg has done is taken, as so many people try to do in the podcast world, is taken sort of a world, a universe, a space, a wheelhouse, if you will, and kind of carve out, I think, a very important niche in it as really sort of that conduit of information, of conversations for barbecue.
I never thought it was going to evolve into where we are today. If you look back 12 years, it all started with my wife bought me a kind of a crappy grill. I cooked through the back of it in like a year and a half. We were going to go out and buy another one. It was going to be this really nice stainless steel $1,200 grill that was at Home Depot. And I just happened to have a chance conversation with my cousin, who was in Maryland at the time and was a barbecue caterer. And he said, have you ever thought about getting a barbecue pit? And I said, Glenn, I have no idea what a barbecue pit is. So we had a conversation, and ultimately he said, I think you could get a pretty decent entry model, which ended up being a Weber Smoky Mountain, and a pretty decent gas grill. Now you have two cooking vessels, two different methods of cooking, and you probably will save yourself some money in the long run by not buying that $1,200 or $1,300 grill that I was looking at the Home Depot at that point. So that's where it started. I got the Weber Smoky Mountain. My wife got it for me as a Father's Day gift. Didn't know how to use it. I read the directions, which anybody knows, Weber Smoky Mountains, that's the worst thing you can do is read the directions when it tells you how to fire it up. And the first rack of ribs that I made was horrifically average, and there was a distinct point in time where that was going to become a flower pot in the back. But then I found the virtualweberbullet.com, which was specifically related to that cooker, learned the Minion method, and that's when I got on the track, and it just got out of hand from there.
So walking the walk on the actual food side, and then kind of figuring out, so many times, this is one of the things I think that is unique about the barbecue community, is that it is a very communal place. It is a conversational place. The people love to get together. They love to talk barbecue, and they have so much in common. Was that part of it? Is not only just kind of reaching out for advice on how to become better at what it is that you that you wanted to do, but was it also just like, hey, let's talk about this? I mean, barbecue people love to talk.
Certainly it was knowledge at first, because I didn't know what I was doing. It was a completely new cooking or way of cooking for me. But as I became more active on that particular message forum, I indeed realized exactly what you said. Here's a community of like-minded individuals. They like smoked meat. They're freely passing all of their expertise and knowledge and tips and tricks around. And over time, you move from that noob into, you know, kind of that medium knowledge guy, and then into the savvy veteran, and you see the new people coming on. And it's this whole circle of life of barbecue knowledge. And I got to the point where I was evidently over communicating on this message forum, and the owner of the Virtual Weber Bullet said, hey, you got to stop asking so many questions. You're costing me too much money. And I said, well, this is like a message board, so...
Was he getting charged by how many messages?
Who knows what they're doing back in 2006. So I said, you know what? I can make my own. So I made my own barbecue forum. Back then it was the BBQ4U forum. And it was on a free bulletin site. Cost me no money. And it grew. I invited some people over at first to get a little street cred on the barbecue scene, but eventually it started growing on its own and became one of the more active forums. I mean, it seems so old technology now. Like, you go somewhere, you post a question, you wait for somebody to get back to you. Now it's YouTube, or just find it anywhere. But that's how it was back then. And it grew and grew, and all of a sudden there seemed to be more of an influx of barbecue forums. So to separate myself, I'd heard about podcasting maybe 6 months before and really didn't know what it was. And I decided to look into that, and that was the first separator off of all those other forums. Then more podcasts came out, and then to re-separate again, I looked into doing a live show via the internet. They call it internet radio. That was still a term that's really weird for me, internet radio. It's just internet show.
Right.
And that's where we are. Live show, has been 12 years now, I think. So it's great.
You think about just where that kind of medium of, whether it's media or communications or however you categorize it, has really changed and evolved to the point where I remember. So I've been, you know, working in radio for 20 plus years. And, you know, when the whole idea of podcasting came out, it was a real compromise on whether it was the amount of people that you could reach or the amount of impact that you could have. And now I'll contend, you know, and of course, everybody, you know, stay tuned to WGN Radio right here in Chicago. But there are so many things that people are doing on the podcasting side where you can make an argument that, Yeah, you could reach more people, you know, and you can make a really good argument. You could reach more people in the podcast forum. And I think the word is out. That cat is specifically out of the bag. And so, you know, the kind of power that you can have. So to see it from getting into it where you just wanted to kind of have a voice, right, to share a voice and specifically in something you had a passion for. And now where it's really like the possibilities are endless.
You're right. Radio is great. Like here we're on WGN. It's a blowtorch. You're getting multiple states and countries. I mean, this thing is wicked. But it's just for the people that are passing through that reach. And maybe they're hearing us right now and we spark some kind of interest and they look you up, they look me up, whatever. But they continue on to Washington State or San Diego or wherever they're actually headed. For podcast, it is everybody that's going to listen to me. We have some kind of common bond right off the bat. You've gone into iTunes or Google Podcast or whatever your podcast platform picker is, and you've typed in BBQ or barbecue, the full name spelling. And now you have a list of things to choose from, and you check out my show. Well, I already know if, Dane, this is the first time you've ever listened to Barbecue Central show, you Googled or you typed in those words BBQ. So you like that already, and I like that already. So there's a show that you might like. Now, when you tune into it, maybe you don't like my personality, maybe you don't like the fact that I have the sound effects, you know, whatever, that might eventually turn you off. But the hook, or what I find to be great about podcasts, is if I'm, as a listener, searching out something, then I know there has to be some time or some kind of common ground that I'm going to like, regardless of whether I end up liking the host or not, because I'm looking for it, and that's the hook.
Yeah, people don't just find themselves washing up on the shores of the BBQ Central.
No, you're searching that out. You're hitting the subscribe button, you know? I mean, that's the best part of the whole thing.
So the conversations and how they've changed from a Greg reaching out to, like, how can I make my ribs not suck, all the way now to the conversations changing, and I want to say inside baseball, but where people that are there, and like you mentioned, they're already informed, in tune, enthused, they're excited about what's happening in the barbecue world. And how can you not be? Because I think that your just everything that you've done and kind of the evolution of it has really converged with really a national. And I think maybe you could make a case that you're maybe part of it in some way, that the country, the world, really, you could make a case for, is excited about barbecue. So the conversations have changed from, hey, I need a little help not to make my stuff or to make my stuff better, to really as sort of that conduit for information when breaking news happens, when personalities are doing things, when they're bringing out books, when KCBS has a brand new kind of a revolutionary change at the top, you know, they're going to come and they're going to talk to you. So how does it feel to be sort of that guy? Right?
It's a new thing, because it hadn't really happened where I had been approached. It's now been twice this year where a big entity to us, the American Royal leadership, says, hey, we want to announce this year's Barbecue Hall of Fame, that make it into the Barbecue Hall of Fame, the class of 2019, live on your show before we put it out on any other media. And then a month or so ago, there's a big change over at the Kansas City Barbecue Society, where they've installed a new CEO, and they want to make that announcement live on my show. And it's, I mean, for me, it's really gratifying, because, you know, there's certainly the whole news, I'm breaking it, blah, 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 and nobody knows before you hear it on my show. But I think it continues to lend a legitimacy and a belief by the folks within the industry that, if regardless of how many other barbecue shows there are, if you want to hear what's happening right now, including live late breaking stuff, you have to come to the Barbecue Central show, or you have to get it right after it ends, or however you're going to consume it, because it's coming here first, and then it'll dribble down the line and everybody else will get a piece.
Also, the opportunity to interact live with it, to like add your opinion to that mix, maybe get some kind of response or feedback to it. It's one thing to hear some of your favorite, you know, barbecue personalities talk about things that they're doing. I think that that's great. We do a lot of that, but to have it be one of those kind of conversations back and forth where you feel you're really a part of it, it's like a living, breathing thing, is really cool. So we're going to talk about those conversations. We come back from this break, we're going to talk about some of the personalities involved, some of the personalities in common, and some of those things that are highlighted, featured with Greg on BBQ Central. Quick break right here, 720 WGN. That's cool. 720 WGN. It is Dane here with you, Skyline Studio High atop Chicago, and for the entire show, riding shotgun, Max Good,
hey,
keeper of the flame for AmazingRibs.com, and the man behind the sauce, Black Swan Barbecue Sauce, Mike Heideman, in the booth as well. For those people listening and letting us know, because of the kind of constricted schedule with the White Sox, we're going to continue our conversation with Greg Rempe from Barbecue Central Show. We've got a lot of great stuff. You know, he was in town with us here in Chicago, experiencing a little bit of what Cleveland does not have to offer, which apparently is quite a bit. And he was brutally honest with the with maybe the lack of, I don't know, like barbecue excellence. And of course, it was his show, and we appreciate what he does. But as far as like the, you know, places around him, not so much, I guess.
Well, Greg and I are both Cleveland guys. That's where I first went to school.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I grew up in basically a suburb of Cleveland, and I went to the Cleveland Institute of Art. And Greg, of course, and I have discussed that. But, you know,
now, are you a fan of Cleveland sports teams? Because there are so much, you know, you can say all you want about, let's say, the 108 years of Cubs woe. But, you know, Cleveland, I think, is uniquely positioned. You know, they've just had a lot of, you know... so you've abdicated your affiliations with Cleveland sports.
Hey, I went to art school. Maybe that tells you something. Not that all art school students don't have an interest in
sports, okay,
but it wasn't,
it's probably for best. It saved you some heartbreak, but maybe some artistic inspiration to paint pictures in dark colors.
Well, initially moving into Cleveland from my small town was very exciting, but Chicago is a much bigger city. There's a lot more going on.
There's a lot more going on, but the entire country is going to be kind of observing and recognizing Labor Day as the weekend comes in. And although there are, you know, important reasons why we recognize a lot of these holidays and why they're on the calendar, but we celebrate in a lot of really cool ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's, you know, 4th of July or Memorial Day or Labor Day, these kind of extended weekends offer an opportunity for people to get out back or wherever, out front or in their garage or in the front or wherever it is that they do at a farm field somewhere, maybe the bathtub. Right, with the window open, right? Safety first.
Or your cigar.
Right. You could have that too, where people are getting out there and barbecue and grilling. And so I'm sure this is a big time for you guys.
Oh, yes.
You know, where people are always interested, especially here in Chicago. People love to do this year round, but this is kind of like prime time.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a few big barbecue holidays throughout the year, and this is certainly one of them. And I'm sure many people listening to our voices this evening have some fun plans for this weekend.
What do you typically do? You know, you don't have to divulge, you know, your personal plans. And I'm sure some of the stuff that you're helping people with are things that you've experienced not only on the equipment side, but also the food side. We talked earlier with Steve Reichlin. His new book is The Brisket Chronicles.
Oh, yes.
Briskets are tough. You know, ribs are pretty easy to make a decent rib. You know, you can make some pulled pork. It's pretty easy, but brisket, that's a challenge.
Yeah, pulled pork and ribs with just a little bit of effort. And I'll tell you, there's the one place to go to get all the techniques you'll need for those, which is not a lot. Don't be daunted by that. And that, of course, is AmazingRibs.com. But brisket is
like,
really...
Well, do you have any secrets? Because I heard you guys made some. It came out pretty well. Do you have a way that you do it that you've had some success?
Well, I was about to talk about brisket. Number one is to get the best quality brisket you can get your hands on. You know, sort of like garbage in, garbage out. A lot of barbecue is very forgiving, but brisket is... tough in more ways than one. It's you want it to be soft, juicy, delicious. It's going to be delicious, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's also going to be dry and tough. Start with the best that you can get. I go to Costco because I can get prime grade USDA prime whole packer briskets at Costco. And
for those people not aware, it's a little pricey, right? And not necessarily Costco in general, but just, you know, the brisket is a big piece of meat,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And it was like a little under $4 for a pound. But the problem is you cut away a lot of it. They always have a lot of fat. And one of the things that I really mostly just do with brisket is I inject it. I'm not a big injector type fiend. Some people inject everything. But brisket is so dry and tough
like
that
inject
I,
like hot dogs or
yeah,
something.
I mean, really, you know. I think that they might even inject ribs. But I got a real cool injector.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if people that are familiar with injectors, they look like big hypodermic needles. And they're a little bit of a pain to deal with because you squirt whatever you're injecting into the meat, then you got to load it back up again, then you squirt it again. I got a cool one made by Charbroil, so they're a big manufacturer. You can get these probably anywhere or easily at any rate for an affordable price. And it's not a groundbreaking design. I've seen many like this, but it's like a big injector gun with a hose coming out of it, and you just stick the other end of the hose into a can of broth or if you want to make your own fancy...
Wow.
It
takes the whole reload element out of it.
Yeah, you just squirt. And you know, most barbecue... like teams or people that are very serious, they already know about this and they have them. But for those that haven't seen them before and you're wearing your hand out, messing around with that smaller injector, take a look at those.
Wow. Because you, okay, you mentioned injecting ribs. Maybe you don't need that much.
But if you're
going to do, but if you're going to do, you know, like a pork shoulder or something, it's a lot, there's a lot of squirting going on. So that actually sounds very, now here for the injector side of it, as far as what you put in it, typically you see a lot of what, brown sugar, apples, you know, juice, that kind of stuff. Is that what you do, or do you have some sort of Max Good secret recipe?
I swear, all I do with brisket is I just use beef broth because there's so much flavoring on the rub that goes on the outside.
Gotcha.
You know, I just don't feel that you want to taste the meat, you know.
So just beef broth, that's all
it.
You put? Okay,
that's
wow.
It, yeah. Just making it juicy inside.
And on the rub side of things, you know, Aaron Franklin, you're on the Texas side, they just, you know, it's just the equal parts,
yeah,
cracked, you know,
Dalmatian,
black pepper and
yeah,
kosher salt or whatever is, but you know, you've got some different things, because people come down on a lot of different sides on what to put on top of it.
Well, I, at the risk of sounding prejudiced, but what can I say? I am. Meathead's Big Bad Beef Rub. I use it on all beef. There is no salt in it. That's because we always say keep the salt separate from your rubs, and then you have more control on it. But you absolutely need to put a lot of salt on a brisket or a shoulder or ribs. So I start by, after I trim away lots and lots and lots of fat, because no one wants to eat that fat, you know. And if you put a rub and seasoning on it, people are going to cut away that fat and it's gone.
Along,
you know,
with the seasoning.
Yeah.
So on the, for the brisket, you've got that kind of fat cap on the top there. And so you're supposed to get it down to maybe like a quarter inch or something. You know,
yeah,
you leave some on there.
Leave a little bit on, you know, and you, I don't mean you have to perform surgery. I saw a YouTube video. We were talking about how there's YouTube videos for everything. I saw a guy bring out needle nose pliers and he's plucking every last bit of fat and silver skin. Now, you don't have to do that, but, you know, anybody who hasn't trimmed a brisket will see immediately there's huge veins of fat in it. And you want to get rid of, within reason, as much of that as you can. And then you just got to cook it low and slow. And I, another thing I don't do for most low and slow projects is I don't wrap them. Usually it's not needed. But brisket I do because I want every advantage I can get to keep that moisture inside and the tenderness.
Now, are you, wrap with foil? Because people come down on both sides, foil or paper or whatever. People sort of have reasons for each one of them where they want it to breathe a little bit while you're still trying to contain things. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, the parchment thing. I'm just so stuck on foil. I haven't really experimented much with parchment. I know many people say it's superior, or at least they can quantify that. If you use parchment, it'll be this, and as opposed to if you use foil, I'm just an old fuddy-duddy stuck in my ways. I just get those big rolls of heavy-duty aluminum foil and wrap it up nice and tight. And then you also want to hold it after you're done, after you get it to the right temperature, around 203 internal, and you can really feel it. I mean, with brisket, you can't even just go by internal temperature. You got to go by its probe tender, And if it gets, let's like what we call wubba wubba, where if you take it out of the foil and shake it, you see it kind of shaking.
So Max is sharing a technical term, well, wubba wubba. Yeah,
people actually use that. If Myron was here, he'd go, yeah, yeah, that's what we do, you know. But after you get there, another thing Myron showed me is we cambro it or hold it for a few hours to let everything settle in.
A few hours? Wow. Well,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you want to
hear
keep,
like an hour, maybe.
You want to, well, whatever you can do. It just helps it along. But Myron said, hey, just go out and get moving blankets. You can get them at a hardware store. You can get them at Home Depot. You know, you've seen this when movers wrap a
sure.
piece of furniture
yeah.
in these blankets. They're real inexpensive. You just wrap your brisket. Now it's, you know, in foil. And if you got a pork shoulder or something, you know, pulled pork, even if you didn't wrap it, now you do because you want to hold it for a couple hours. Wrap that a second time in a moving blanket, and it'll keep it nice and warm and just get the meat nice and tender. So it's something I recommend.
Little techniques, but they make all the difference in the world. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the rest of it. Like what you've got to do, the final step to dress it up is the sauces, right? So we're going to talk Black Swan sauce. We're also going to talk, you know, Labor Day. It's happening all around the country. People are going to be doing a lot of this stuff, but also thoughts on how barbecue is American-style barbecue and what it is that we're doing. Even the competition side is spreading and becoming popular around the world. So stay tuned for that. Keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane here, Skyline Studio High atop Chicago in the home stretch. As we kind of get a little bit closer towards Labor Day weekend, people kind of making their plans, how they're going to enjoy it in the backyard or however they do. And excited to have the keeper of the flame, Max Good himself from AmazingRibs.com in studio with us, Mike Heideman. Spinning the hits and getting ready to. He's got his own jar of Besa del Fuego. Of the Black Swan sauces. So I see him trying to put it on some saltines and some other things that we have around the station. But
a little spam.
So, Mike, what are you going to put it on first? Probably when you get home, right?
Well, I was thinking about what I was going to do. Usually I like putting barbecue sauce on quesadillas.
No.
So I might test it on that. But then I love dousing, you know, shredded chicken with barbecue sauce. So that's what I was planning on doing with it.
So, Max, as you were inventing... As you were creating, you know, much like, you know, Thomas Edison, you know, and all those kind of things.
Good analogy.
Some of those great inventors throughout time. And you thought yourself, did you build in the versatility where you're thinking to yourself, all of those barbecue applications, but also that there'll be guys like Mike out there that are going to say, quesadilla.
He's scoffing at me right now. he's wagging his finger at me at the moment.
No.
Is there some fine print on there, Max? Is it not intended for use with quesadilla?
Look, I would love it if people put Black Swan on everything they hate. So that's okay with me.
This is at the commercial. It's like, hey, I hate
good
Brussels.
On everything.
You're like a guy with Brussels sprouts or something like that. Pour some Black Swan on it.
You know, some people use it instead of ketchup. And to be fair, some people use other barbecue sauces in the same manner, but. A thing, as you know, that's different about ours from many barbecue sauces is ours is Black Swan is all fresh pureed vegetables.
Yep.
So it's great on the grill or in the kitchen because it's real sauce. So it
not
is
as
very,
much high fructose corn syrup as
there is no
some
corn
other brands.
Syrup. None at all. There is sugar and there is salt. You know, we've used very few powdered flavor. We don't use onion powder and onion and garlic powder. That's all fresh pureed vegetables. And the Besa del Fuego that Mike has, which is our hot sauce, also has fresh pureed jalapenos and habaneros. The habaneros Ooh. Make the difference.
That's it. That's it. Okay, so... Talk about it, because coming up with it, you know, there are so many, and it's the kind of thing, and it's not either or, it's and. It's kind of like craft beer, where there's a lot of people that find things that they like, but they always want to try some other things. There's a lot of sauces on the market that each feel like they've got sort of a place in the marketplace, and they do. So talk about Black Swan, the different flavors, what you were thinking. We know about the ingredient side, that commitment to quality, but also, like, what it is that you were thinking when you had them, and also, too, is kind of the expansion of, I guess, global appreciation for stuff like that. You're getting orders from all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right. There is a growing interest worldwide in American-style barbecue. Of course, as we were talking about earlier off the air, there is what you could call barbecue from all different cultures. And the American barbecue is a real blend of different ideas and different types of ingredients and techniques. But what I was thinking of is I just started with one, and it was kind of a medium tomato-based Kansas City-style sauce, kind of sweet. I don't think ours is as sweet as most. And when I finally decided to sell it, I kind of toned back some of the spice a little because I thought it was a little too hot just for the general public. Once we started selling it, then I said, well, I should have a couple other flavors. So I said, well, okay, mild, medium, and hot. So I wanted to make the hot one. I actually remember now, I thought it would be easy, and it wasn't as easy as I thought. I thought I'd just heat it up, right? But I had to tweak it quite a bit. The mild one, I said, maybe as a result of that experience, I said, I want to try something different. So, once we stripped out all the spices, it just didn't have the excitement I wanted, and I experimented with quite a few different ingredients, and what I ended up with was fresh ground ginger, not powdered ginger. Powdered ginger would just not work. Oranges and a little bit of cognac. Ooh. And that one always captures people's imagination. Sweet cognac barbecue sauce. But it's a popular one. I know we have a distributor in Montreal now, and of course, that captures their imagination. But yes, we just were at, you talked about worldwide interest. We were just at an event by the Food Export Association of the Midwest, which is a wonderful group, where we were lucky enough to be able to meet with about a dozen buyers from all over the world. And I just sent a bunch of samples to Saudi Arabia, so I have my fingers crossed for them. Guatemala is another a country that's expressed an interest in it.
Okay, do they have, you know, as the interest comes in, are these different parts and places around the world, are they kind of getting onto the bandwagon of what we're considering, at least discussing, as kind of American barbecue? And because there's a lot of that happening even in England, where I think it's Grillstock, where Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, is over there, and they've really come a long way on what was kind of their first attempts at competition barbecue, and now they're getting not only more excited about it, but more proficient at it. And Danielle Bennett, Diva Q, it was down doing some seminars, I think, in Australia and some other places. Oh, yeah. And there's so many different kind of either celebrities or personalities in the barbecue world that are kind of being called to all aspects of kind of different places that you wouldn't necessarily think of. I think you mentioned Myron Mixon. I think he was doing classes in Finland and some other things.
Northern Europe. Well, you know, Weber's European headquarters is in Berlin. Denmark is their biggest customer per capita in the world. Here in the U.S., 7 out of 10 people have some kind of a grill, a gas or charcoal grill here in the United States. And on the population, Denmark has more barbecue grillers out in their backyard than any other country.
Wow.
So Northern Europe, possibly England, I'm not sure what's going on there right now. We had somebody distributing in Belgium, but the tax situation and other duties and stuff.
The bottle of black swan cost $47.
Well,
it made it
yeah,
a little tough.
They kind of balk at it these days.
We wanted to mention, too, that we want to get the website out for people to get some information on all of that stuff. And we've only got maybe about 1 minute left here. So I want to thank everybody listening to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. And for those people who want to get more information on Black Swan, where they can go to a lot of stores around here, but also the website.
The website is blackswancompany.com. And we're not in any big chains right now, but you can find us in some Whole Foods. Like if you're in downtown Chicago, the Lakeview location, that's one of their biggest stores. We're in Pete's, we're in Heinen's, and we just set up a deal to get on Amazon, so stay tuned.
And we got to get you down to the Jack. They've got for the Jack Invitational Barbecue, at least 20 different countries are represented down there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can come down. Maybe we'll do a live show from the Jack.